Shalom and welcome to Tel Aviv University's newest initiative, a series of podcasts with our leading friends and supporters. Shalom everyone, welcome. It's our pleasure today to have you with us in a very special interview today with our good friend Asi Schmelzer. Asi, hi, welcome.
Thank you, it's good to be here.
We're going to have some podcasts with our friends talking about their life, about their philanthropy, about their social involvement, and of course about their business as well. And I'm very honored to have you with us today. Asi, you are the chairman of the Shlomo Holding LTD, which is a large group, international group. We'll hear about it soon. And today, especially today, we have a war going on in our country. You're married to Daphna and have three children. And you've been an officer in the IDF a long time ago. And I wanted just to have your thoughts about the situation right now, your feelings.
Well, first of all, thank you for having me here. It's a great honor. And, you know, when you made the presentation, that was so many years ago. I joined the army at 1988, and I served as an officer in South Lebanon. So whenever you hear about whatever happens in the north, the attacks, the bombings, I practically visualize those places, those villages that I used to serve in. Just to remind you, during those days we had the safety zone. So the IDF was in the safety zone alongside with the South Lebanese army, which was a Lebanese army which was trained by the Israelis. And its mission was to protect our borders 40 kilometers north of the borders of Israel. Kind of remind us where we need to be these days. Hence the safety zone. Your question about my feelings today, I think it's very complicated to ask someone today because we went through a major change that happened not just ever since the 7th of October, even before that, with the judicial reform and the change of, say, attitude and communication between and the solidarity we were so proud of, all of us. And just a few months ago, just before the 7th of October, we've been dealing with arguments and fights and discussions and bad feelings among each other. And from business perspective, not, of course, it damaged everything, but even from business perspective, it made a lot of damage. I think, you know, tourism-wise, business-wise, security, stability, everything was unstable. It was very difficult to walk around and be proud of where we are and, you know, the arguments that we are going through. And then the 7th of October came and world collapsed on us. And I think a lot of us are seeing Israel in a different light, and the security or the feeling of untouched, untouchable, or the strongest country kind of fade away, and we are building ourselves right now. No, that's a very, very long answer I'm giving you.
It's okay. But, I really, thank you. That's exactly how people now express their feelings, because the feelings are very intricate. you are, as I said before, the chairman of a very international group, the Shlomo Group. You have from green environmental things to real estate and of course all the automobile. Maybe you can describe a little bit, what is the Shlomo Group? Tell us a little bit about what are you doing locally, internationally.
Well, Shlomo Group is the founder of Shlomo Group was my late father, Shlomo Shmelzer, who passed away in 2014, almost 10 years ago. He started alongside with my mom, basically with nothing. And his first business was renting cars. His first customer was the IDF, when he was renting cars to the IDF at the beginning. And over the years, we are three brothers. I have a twin sister and a younger brother. And we were kids growing in a parents, working parents' house, which means that both parents left the house, left home early morning. We used to be a key kid, you know, where the keys were hanging on our necks, going back home at lunch. And we grew into the business, all of us. My father was very strict about our paths and the way we and things that we need to do. I'm looking at my kids today, and the way I was educated, or I would say ordered. These days, you cannot say ordered to your kids, but I was basically tuned and guided without any choice to do the army, as you know, become an officer, and then to do to go to the university to do your BA and then your MBA. Without that, there is no entry into the business. And then once I graduated, I came back. I studied abroad, and I came back, and I joined my father, and I've been working with him ever since then. So our business is, if you want to organize them, we have about five pillars. First one is the automotive, where we are running the biggest leasing and car rental company in Israel. With that, I'm including the sales of the used cars, finance company, and many other services, garages, workshops, everything that is synergetic to the car business, to the car rental business, and car leasing, operational leasing, financial leasing. So this is one pillar. The second pillar is insurance. We own an insurance company, Shlomo Insurance. The third pillar would be shipyard. We own 35, almost 40% of the Israeli shipyard in Haifa, where we are actually building military patrol boats to the Israeli army and to foreign armies as well. Very interesting.
Do you see an increase now? I mean, there's the bigger demand now because of the war?
There is a demand. The war is here, but the world is looking at these security and ways to defend itself. So yes, there is a lot of movement and awareness towards those needs. And within the shipyards, we have a private port. And
next to Ashdod, I think, right?
No, that is in Haifa. Sorry, the Israeli shipyard is located in Haifa, in between the Haifa port, which was privatized just a year and a half ago by the Indians, and the new port, which is operated by SIPG, the Chinese operator. So we are kind of in between, stuck. We have a small port, private one, and we're doing mainly grains and
So basically, you're the only Israelis who own a port in that area. You have the Chinese and the Indians.
In that area, yes. Right? We have two more ports or three more ports. One in Eilat, yeah. Different sea, different area. Yeah. One in Ashdod, and two in Ashdod. One is owned by a Swiss guy.
Yeah.
And the big Ashdod port belongs to the government still. So we do the port, and we have a cement. We import cement. We are the second largest cement importer to Israel. Other than Nesher is the biggest manufacturer, and we are the biggest importer. Hmm. So that's the port and the industry. Our fourth pillar, if I'm not mistaken, is Afcon. It's an electromechanic company, public company with, say, more than 1,000 engineers dealing with everything that has to do with infrastructure and buildings. Our latest project, turnkey project, was the Mobile I-1 in Jerusalem. Mm. 2 years ago, we finished the Intel campus in Petah Tikva. We take a lot of pride. Right now, Afcon is building Intel's fabs, microchips factories in Kiryat Gat. Afcon is doing basically everything that has to do with low voltage, high voltage, homeland security, air conditioning.
If I'm not mistaken, I saw on the internet when I was researching, you also have a wind farm in
it's called Sarin and Gilboa, Male Gilboa, and Sirin, two locations. Altogether, we're looking at 23,000 megahertz.
Wow.
Which 10 years ago, about 9 years ago when we started it, was considered to be a big wind farm. Exactly. Now it's a relatively small one. What else? We have a real estate company purchasing real estates here and in Europe. That's an additional one.
And you also operate with a car, right, in Romania, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, we copy paste our know-how and our connections, and basically doing the same thing in Romania, operating about 10,000 cars for leasing and car rental in Romania as well. And that's about it.
And
one more thing, we are importing BYD cars into Israel.
That's the electric cars, right?
Electric cars. We are partnering with the LA Group. So BYD started importing the electric, full electric vehicles 2.5 years ago, and it's a huge success in Israel. Number one.
Wow, amazing. Yeah, we're going to talk soon about the electric cars and the future of transportation. But first, just an interesting question. You mentioned that the group is run by the family. So that's, in the university we have here in the Kohler Business School, we have a center for that Raya Strauss announced for family, businesses. And this is probably complicated to run a family run by a business. I know your mother is involved, your friend, your brothers, and... just maybe share with us a little bit about that. I mean, is that something that you feel is natural, or?
I think it, first of all, it's not easy. It might be, and it can be complicated. First of all, my mom is still my mom is alive and healthy, thank God.
Atalia,
and she's kind of overlooking. So the mother goose is there. But we were brought up and educated to get along, and the education we received was that brotherhood and family comes before everything. And so if you're not busy in doing the math and looking at someone else instead of what you're doing, then all of us, by the way, are working in companies. We split our fields of responsibility. For each company I've mentioned, we have professional CEOs, so we act as chairmen. So, and all of us are responsible for some companies I mentioned before. And at the end of the day, it's second generation. My father's death was a sudden death, so we were not prepared for that. And as long as everything is fine, and you know, we have to make sure that everything is fine.
Sounds like you're doing a good job in that. I mean, some
touch wood.
No, I think it's also exactly as you said. It's about believing. It's about getting ready to accept and to be together. And that's what I guess what you're doing.
I think, and this might answer some of your questions. My father left a legacy, you know, the Shlomo Group and the Shlomo Foundation, and everything that we are doing is for the sake of the Shlomo Foundation, it's just a heritage. So it's not about me or about anybody else. We are serving the brand, we're serving the legacy.
The vision of your
father. The legacy gives us fruits, which is fine, we enjoy that, but we have to protect and serve that that the firm, and as long as we are looking after it, it will give us back.
It's amazing. No, really, very amazing. I want to ask you about your professional side. We talked about the cars and the future and transportation. So we're going to talk soon about you establishing the university, the Shlomo Schmelter Institute for Smart Transportation. But you know, when we look at you talked about electric cars. How do you see the future of transportation? And you rely a lot on transportation. What do you see? What do you envision in the future?
In Israel, I think we are suffering from mass transportation. We do not have the tools, the means, or the right infrastructure for mass transportation of people. So we found ourselves stuck in traffic and too many cars. And I'm hopefully within the next decade, we will enjoy undergrounds and trains that can actually carry big quantities of people. Just, you know, just to put that in perspective, one railway track, one and single one that serves people, containers, military, everything that has to do with the train goes on one track. It's unheard of in any country. It's true, they're building another one, but it will take many, many years. And until then, we will still have to get stuck on traffic. As far as electric vehicles are concerned, I think at the end of the day, we are the outcome of a decision made by the manufacturers. So basically, we drive what they manufacture. So the question is whether manufacturers will continue, or how big will the electric vehicles penetration into the automobile world will be. And I think there is no other alternative right now, at least not in the next 20 years, and of course, in order to protect the environment, many legislations, many rules of emission fines. So it basically forcing the manufacturers to manufacture cleaner cars, healthier cars. And the movement is there. We can see it in Europe. We can see it in the States. I'm a strong believer in that field, that area, not just for cars, but for many, many other things that can be used for batteries.
They're talking about batteries. That is something that is the future, of course, for many fields, right? I mean, talk about airplanes or other ways of transportation, of course.
Airplanes, just to give you an example, airplanes, the taxi, the airplane, before it takes off, it's wasting about 5% of its fuel just by taxiing.
Wow.
to the takeoff runway. And imagine if you can basically use the battery for that, and while you're using the engines to take off, you can basically use the wheels to recharge your battery. Same thing goes for landing.
Yeah.
So
a lot of pollution saved.
a lot of pollution saved. Still, the weight will take some customers or some people off the plane. I mean, there's a trade-off for that.
Yeah.
But if you do not do that, then they're going to fine you. So
yeah,
this is where it comes into account.
Interesting. So you mentioned before about the legacy. So part of the legacy that you did here in the university is the institute that I, the Shlomo Institute that I mentioned before. I would like to hear from you a little bit about your legacy, your father's legacy, and what do you do with philanthropy? I know you're doing a lot of things in Israel, not only here in the Tel Aviv University. We're doing a lot of things, a lot of good things for Israel, so for the people. Maybe you can mention some of the things that you're doing.
So we are, as I said, we are thinking of the legacy and of the group, and we're doing everything we can to preserve that and to give back. We are a private reporting company, so basically, although we are private, we are still reporting our results and donations. And my board of directors decided that we are going to put 2% of everything that we earn into a fund that will give back and donate. So except for our cooperation in the university, which I'm very proud of, with the Shlomo Smart Transportation Institute, we have built a section at the Asaf HaRofe at Shamir Hospital, donated a full section.
Wow.
For kids.
Wonderful.
And that was one of the things that we did. The we just signed 2 weeks ago with the organization for the IDF cripples, Igud Nechei Tzal.
Yeah, disabled.
The disabled soldiers. One. They're opening Bet Alochem, the club in Ashdod. Wow. So we're going to donate their
unfortunately
gymnastic.
Much needed now in those days, you know.
Exactly.
So many wounded soldiers.
Exactly. So we are looking for big targets, big aims. So you know, the donation will be
focused
worthy on. And focused and big enough. It's a great honor. And I'm very happy we can do that.
I mean, you can see you do it from, you never, you know, just from the university point of view, never ask for any credit or any, you're doing it very humbly, and this is very nice of you and your family. I know you're, all of them, you are very much involved in this, and this is something which is very worthy. I know we don't have a lot of time, but I just want to maybe few advice for the next generation, for younger entrepreneurs, people that... are listening here. We have people from around the world, Israelis and non-Israelis, and you're definitely someone I would consider entrepreneur. You're a visionary. You are an industrial. You're a businessman, and you're also next generation. I don't know if I told you. I think we spoke about it once. I was lucky many years ago to meet your father. I sat with him when I was a young, NGO guy, and I sat with him, and he was in his office. I think it was, next to Asaf HaRofe, you had an offices there.
Still there, right?
So, and he was wisely looking at me and very, very nicely, you know, no ego, just I was young and he gave me such wise advices for the future of my life. So I have a warm heart, spot in my heart, you know, place in my heart for your father. So just mentioning that for many, many years ago. But maybe if you can just, you know, your insights or... We have people that are with us, so maybe your thoughts or what should be someone who wants to go forward.
I think, first of all, just to comment on what you said, usually kids, when they grow and, you know, they marry and they have their own kids, they talk to their parents every week and, you know, they see them once a week or once in 2 weeks and, you know, for a few hours. So the grandpa is kind of, you know, hugging the kids, grandkids, and everything. These are the normal ones, okay? Now talk about the parents, the working parents. I was very fortunate, although there were days where working with your father is not an easy task. But, and we had some difficult days. It's a very good day and many good days, but some difficult ones. But I was very fortunate. Once he passed away, I was very fortunate, since you've mentioned him, that to have spent 20 years, full years, every day, spending time with him. Only when he was gone, I actually realized it and appreciated that. So, tip or to the generation, if you would have asked me before the 7th of October, I would have told you that the young generation needs to think about the other rather than just thinking about themselves. But come to think of it, after the 7th of October, I realized that that was not. That might have been the assumption, but having seen all those young people fighting together and, staying together and keeping solidarity and helping each other, I think we have a great nation, very, very talented and
capable.
Yeah. Capable and fighting spirit and really very admirable generation. And what I can say right now is don't lose hope. Common sense will prevail at the end of the day. Whatever makes sense definitely it might be difficult. We will have to fight in order to achieve what we think need to be here, but I am optimistic about the future of Israel, and I'm optimistic about what's going to happen with us, or in spite of our arguments and everything, we will find a way to stay here, to fight. We will have to fight. We have no other choice, but there are ways of doing it. Yeah. And if you ask me whether I'm going to continue investments in Israel rather than just taking the money out, then I'm definitely staying here and planning of in making the investments, of future investments in future businesses here. I think there is no other great place other than there's no other great place than here in Israel, and we should be very proud of ourselves. Recoup,
yeah.
Get over it.
We will prevail, absolutely,
and continue.
I wanted to thank you very much for this amazing podcast. Really interesting, and I think that a lot of our listeners and viewers will learn a lot about it. And really, just maybe we should end up, first of all, continue doing good for Israel, for Am Yisrael, and for State of Israel. And maybe just wishing, of course, and joining the prayers for all our kidnappees and soldiers to come back home safely. We're all praying and wishing, and with that, I bid you goodbye, and thank you everyone for joining us. Toda roba.
Toda. Amen.
Toda asi.